We're holding on, Lemon Gimel, Lemon Days, about a third of the way down the Omer, the line begins, the beginning of the line begins Toshmas. We discussed yesterday, we had a couple of machlokes of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel about this business of being mevatel a get. One was in general, after Rav Gamliel is up in Sakana, where that you can't be mevatel it. If you mevatel it, is it still batel or not? We discussed the pros and cons of that. And then we discussed also what happens if there were 10 people who were supposed to be involved in the get, which actually we said if you don't say kulchem, then you don't have all 10 of them involved. You have among those 10, one of them has to write the get and two has to sign, and two have to sign it. Can he then be mevatel some of them and still have the rest of them and still be a valid get? We talked about that, the matter of do we say if part of the agis is batel, the whole thing is batel? Do we say that is there any possibility that the underlying idea over here, that you might say if part of it is batel, all of it is batel, so therefore you have a problem if you're mevatel in front of some of them, the rest of them aren't going to know, and therefore they're going to go deliver it wrongly, or is it it's anyway batel, or anyway it's anyway not batel kula, it's only those people who you said it was batel to are batel, the rest of them is still intact, so it's still a valid get. We talked about that. We talked about whether maybe it's a matter of, maybe Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that if you did the thing originally in front of 10, you need 10 people in order to cancel it. We got into all of that. And the last thing we talked about was we started asking the question, what if instead of just saying to 10 people, write and give the get, what if you said kolchem, which we've previously learned, means that all 10 of them have to sign the get. So now, does he have the ability to be mevatelet in front of only some of them? So we said, one way of looking at it, it depends on those two answers from the previous part of the Gemara. If you say it depends, if you say it's a matter of part of the Aegis being bottle and therefore all of it being bottle, if we say that loyd batel kula, if we say not all of it is batel, but in this case, when you say kulchem, they're going to know all 10 of them are supposed to be signing. When they see afterwards that only 8 of them have signed, they're going to anyway know it's batel, and they're not going to, they're going to anyway know it's incomplete, and they can't give it. And then they'll go ask those two, you, can you sign it so we can deliver it? They'll tell them, sorry, he was mevatelus. And then they'll know the whole thing falls apart. Or is it that you tack a need, if you did it in front of 10, you need to undo it in front of 10, so therefore it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Still, in order to validly be mevatel any of them, you need all of them.
Even though there's no signatures?
There's not enough signatures, but still, in order to validly be mevatel, the thing you'd argue that you need all of them, and therefore, whether you say kolchem or not, you'd still need to do it in front of all 10 of them. Not so much, not because we're worried that they may give it incomplete. They're not going to give it incomplete, obviously, but because if you don't, according to that way of looking at it, if you don't have all 10 of them present, your bittel is not a valid bittel.
That's it.
Based on condition. Cool. Yeah. So, Toshma, if someone says to two people, give a get to my wife, so Rebbe says then he can cancel one not in front of the other. He can cancel to one and we don't have to worry about the other one not knowing about it, because anyway, it can't be given without the both of them. Rav Shimon Gamliel, any yachol avatel al zeh b'fnei zeh. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, you need to do it in the presence of both of them. Now, v'hoshnayim b'kikulchem dom, if you say to two people, write the get, that's the equivalent of saying to 10 people, kulchem, because you can never have a get less than two people. But by of necessity, then it means if he's mevatel only one of them and the other one goes ahead and signs the get, he's going to know it's incomplete. Because there were only two, and he was mevatel one.
Only one person.
Who says it's the same with
10? That's what we're arguing. The same logic as, what are we saying with 10? Kulchem means that all 10 of them now know, in order for this get to be valid, in order for us to be able to deliver this get, it's going to have 10 signatures on it. Well, right now we only see 8, so therefore we know it's incomplete. Same logic if you have two and only one of them signs.
Two is minimum.
So that's the point, then. That's the point. By definition, two is the equivalent of kulchem. Upligi, and yet we see that they argue. So it's not just a matter of there's obviously
you could close open for
whatever.
Closed it, didn't you?
Yeah, but
it's still
for a while.
The time that I was open. Yeah. Okay, no, come on. Now's not the time for that. Come on. So the point is, if you have two Adim, of necessity, you can't have a get without both of those signatures. There's certainly no problem that one of them is going to sign and think, okay, this is a valid get, let's deliver it. and yet Shimon Gamliel is saying no good. So obviously it's not a matter of that he's saying that it's not a question of whether butla mitzvah or butla kula. Obviously it must be that it's not a valid bittul without having all of them. Well, by the same token with kulchem, yes, it's true if you only have 8 signatures, you don't have to worry about that those 8 may go deliver the get without knowing that it's no good. And presumably Rav Shimon Gamliel would argue the same thing over there. He would still say that you cannot be mivatel unless all 10 of them are present, because originally you told all of that, all 10 of them.
One person dies, it's a mess.
So if one person dies, okay, maybe you could, no, maybe actually, if he said kulchem, he said all of you have to be involved. So if one of them dies without signing, yeah, pashas, it would also be no good.
This person stuck for life.
No, it just means all new get will have to be written. Or he'll have to, it means a new get will have to be written, or it means he'll have to undo his tenai or whatever. Amar Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi says not necessarily. You know what? If you're talking about that both of these people are supposed to be the Edim who are writing and signing the get, then you're right. It's true that what your point was valid, that Rav Shimon Gamliel would be saying that you can be mevatel, one not in front of the other one, because that's true. Taka, in that case, there taka won't be any reason to be concerned, because it's true. Once you have a get with only one signature, and nobody's going to think that it's valid. Hacha, ma'eskin, ve'eda he'locha. But here we're talking about, when he says tenu, it's not necessarily he's telling them sign the get. He's telling them deliver the get. Well, then, you still have the problem, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel. You could still argue, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, you have the problem that if you tell one of them that I'm a mevatelet, the other one is still going to go and deliver and not realize that the shliflus has been canceled. So there you could... What?
When he gives the two to deliver, it means they must be... Can only be together, or it means that...
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing. If we say that eight is shabbat, the mitzvah, shabbat, la kula, then we would say the same thing about shliflus. A shliflus that's partly bottle is completely bottle. Well, then if it was mevatel part of it, the other one's not going to know. Whereas if you go according to the way we looked at it before, that Eidos, that Shabbat Mitzvah is not Batla Kula, and the same thing with Shlichus, it's fine, he can cancel one of them. The other one is still able to go and deliver the get validly. There's no problem with it. And in fact, the Gemara says, Hachinam Mistaber, in fact, this seems to be logical that we're talking about in this Machlokas of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, we're talking about Eidos HaLacha. Because the Braita continues that if he says to one of them that before we were talking about he told both of them together be my shluchim to bring the get. Now we're talking about a different scenario that if he says to one of them bring the get, and then he says you know what you also go and accompany him. It actually puts it in terms of im tirtza gamate. If you want, you can also join him as a shliach for it. So then he says, then he can be mevatel one not in front of the other one, and everybody would agree to that, even Rav Shimon Gamliel. So, if you're saying that it's talking to Eidah Halacha Shapir, then that works. It's possible to arrange individual Eidah Halacha like that, one not in presence of the other. But if you're talking about, if you were to say, as we initially assumed, that the Braisa was talking about Eidim for writing the get, then how could you be mitzvah or something like that? Tell one person you be involved in writing this get, and later on telling another one you be involved in writing this get. That b'chlal wouldn't be a valid combination of eders. For Amamar, because we learn in a braisa, ein edus mitzvah. It's actually Yerush Neim Ka'achad. Suppose you have a case. The Gemara in Sanhedrin. It's actually a braisa. Talks about a scenario like this. Imagine you have. In the morning, Reuben lends Shimon money, and two Edim, Levi and Yehuda, are watching it. Later on that day, the same Levi and Yehuda see the same Reuben and Shimon that Reuben is lending Shimon $100. Well, that's the question. So what's the point? There's no question at this point that Shimon owes Reuben at least $100. Maybe he owes him $200. Maybe he lent him twice. Maybe he lent him, then he paid it back, then he lent him again. So therefore, you have a machlokas over there between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shua ben Korcha. I have it a little wrong. It's not Levi and Yehuda both saw both things. It's rather Levi saw in the morning, Yehuda saw what happened in the afternoon. Can Levi and Yehuda combine and go together to Beis Din and say, we can give Eidus that Shimon owes Reuben $100?
At least, right.
Well, okay, they can't be made on more than that. Right. Can they be made that he owes him $100? One way of looking at it is, no, they have to both see the Eidos together. And by Dinin Nefashos, it's necessarily so. By Dinin Nefashos...
Two Eidos, if each one covers at different times.
So, but on the other hand, the fact is, you have, we learned the Sixubis as well, that even if each one saw a different transaction, but it was the same amount, and it was the same day and everything, yes, they can be made on it.
How can they be made on it?
Because they're being made, that he owes them $100. He definitely owes him
$100. $100, $200.
Fine, maybe he owes $200. If Reuben wants to claim $200, fine, he's gonna have to bring Adam for that. No question about it. But at least he wants to be able to claim $100.
The only thing is Mulday, he didn't see maybe he paid back in Mulday.
That's the thing. So maybe he paid back the original one in the middle of the day, but then he borrowed from another $100 in the evening. And we don't have any evidence that he paid him back. That's the point.
No, he may owe zero.
No, because if Shimon wants to claim that he paid back the second one, fine. Again, he's going to have to bring evidence for it. If we look at it, that we have Eidos at this point that Shimon owes Reuben at least $100. Fine, we can't give Eidos for more than $100, but we do have evidence that he owes him $100. Then at least Shimon is going to have to bring proof that he paid back the second $100. The first $100, fine. We'll have to deal with. We only have one Eidos on the first $100. Fine. Maybe you don't have a valid what. It's enough to make him swear, yeah. But according to the Chachamim over there, both of them have to see the exact same transaction by the same token over here. When it comes to setting up Adam for a get, you can't say to one of them, you be involved in signing this get, and then later on tell another one you be involved. That wouldn't work anyway. So necessarily, therefore, the Braitha has to be talking about that he said that it's Eda Helocha, which can be appointed one independently of the other, instead of Eda Ksiva, which is what we were assuming originally. We wanted to say it's Eda Ksiva, that's what brought us to ask the question, well, in that case then, with two Eda Ksiva, necessarily you can't have fewer than two anyhow, so therefore, why is Rav Shimon Gamliel arguing and saying you can't be Mavata one in front of the other? That shows that even with 10, you can't be Mavata one in front of the other. Now we're saying not necessarily, because the two or the 10 that we're talking about may be Eidei Mesira. And not, maybe Eidei Helocha, rather. Eidei Helocha, yeah. However, the Gemara says, why? Okay, the Ha'al Mamar, Eina Dusan Rasadef, is actually Yerush named Ka'achot. But Bryce says that the Eidos of two people is not combined together unless they both see the same thing at the same time. And so the Gemara says, okay, big deal. Jumlet Rabbi Shoben Karcha, Svir, like, fine, you could argue that the Braitha goes according to Rabbi Shoben Karcha. And the Halacha is, in fact, like Rabbi Shoben Karcha, in that case of the two different loans.
That
the two Eidos can combine together. The Halacha is, in fact, like...
Combine together? Or?
Not must, they can combine together. If now Reuben is suing Shimon for the $100 in Beis Din, then Levi and Yehuda can come together to Beis Din and say, we have evidence that Shimon owes Reuben $100.
Even though one saw one
transaction, which may have been paid off, maybe not, and the other one saw the other, but we know between the two of them that...
It goes only for Dinim HaMenes, right?
We're talking Dinim HaMenes, yeah, Dinim HaFashas, it wouldn't work. Anyway, okay, so the Halacha, in fact, is like Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Nevertheless, the Gemara didn't want to assume that at first, because the Gemara wanted to assume that the Braitha here of Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel goes according to everybody. But then the Gemara is saying not necessarily. You could argue it goes a little bit hilchos, it goes according to Rabbi Shimon Karcha. Therefore, you don't really have a proof one way or the other. You could argue that the Braitha is talking about Eidik Siva, and then it would have to be according to Rabbi Shimon, and then it would have to be according to Rabbi Shimon Karcha, and then we could indeed use that to prove that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would say that however many it is that must be involved, you have to be mavatal in front of all of them for it to be bottled. Or you could argue that the Braitha is not a coincidence of Rabbi Shimon Karcha, and therefore it's talking about Eidei Helocha, and therefore that's a whole different thing.
So we don't improve.
I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Shamit Mineidir of Abba Tarki. I heard two dinim from Rabbi Abba. Chodek to Rebbe, the Chodek Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. I heard that we had two machlokes, then again, of Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. One, whether you can be mevatelet after Rabbi Gamliel is up in Takana. And two, if you're mevatel, some of them is the whole thing vatel or not. So I heard in one of them the halacha is like Rebbe, and in the other one the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Well, you're dying, hey, Rebbe, the Heker of Shimon Gamliel. I don't remember which one was which. Rabbi Yosef, next the Anan. Okay, so Rabbi Yosef says, let's figure it out logically. The Chiyosid of Dimi, Omar, because when Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, that it once happened that Rebbe did like the Chachamim. Namely, this is talking about as follows. What did we say? We said that we had two machlokes in Rebbe and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We had one, the first one about whether you can be mevatel Rav Shimon Gamliel said, why can you not? Because imkein makoyach beis din yofer. If you're going to allow, Rav Gamliel was talking made a takana, his beis din made a takana that you're not allowed to mevatel it. Now you're going to say that if he was mevatel it, nevertheless it's bottle, imkein makoyach beis din yofer. Then what's the power of beis din that you're able to circumvent it so easily? Now, we find a different case where...
The primary goal of the takana?
Well, the primary goal of the takana, we said it, Mishum Agunus or Mishum Amzeiros or whatever, but once they made the takana, Rav Shimon Gamliel holds that you can't say that it's so easy to get around it. So now we find a different case where Makayach Beis Din Yofer comes into play. So one time, Rebbe had passed in according to the Chachamim. Now this was a case, we learned about this in Ksubas, that if the Dayanim are asked to give an evaluation of the value of a piece of property or whatever, in order in the case we had over there in Ksubas was they were used, it was supposed to be used to sell to raise money for the food for the mezonos of the almana. Or the girls or whatever, whoever the unmarried daughters yet or whatever. So suppose you have that the Dayanim figured out the value of the field, but they underestimated or overestimated by more than 1/6, by 1/6 or more. So the property really should be worth $500, and they estimated it to be $600, or vice versa. So the Chachamim say that Michron Batel, that the sale was Batel, and then everything has to be started over again. So it depends. I mean, if it's that they got more money for the Yisoyimim and for the Amon or the Yisoyimim, whatever it means, that the seller has a valid claim. Wait a minute, I shouldn't have paid so much. I want my money back, or I want the overage paid back to me or whatever. And when we figure this, I didn't expect. I overpaid for this field. If it was underpaid, then the Amon is the one who'd be having the claim. Whatever. So the Chachamim are the ones who hold over there that it's bottle. The Rebbe once passed in according to that. Amal the son of Reb Parta, Pneusher Reb Lozman Parta, Pneusher Reb Parta Agado. So Reb Parta, who was the son of Reb Lozman Parta, and therefore that makes the second Reb Parta the grandson of Reb Parta Agado. He says to Rebbe, how could you do that? In Kain Makayach based in Yafa. If that's so, what's the power of Beis Din? If you're going to say that Beis Din evaluation and the sale that's done under their supervision can be so easily undone, where's the power of Beis Din? And in fact, Rebbe changed his mind and followed Reb Shimon Gamliel, who says that it doesn't matter whether they, even if they did, the sale is still valid. So what do we see from that? So therefore we see that Rebbe himself agreed with this concept of Makoyach Beis Din Yofer. So therefore we should assume that in that first machloikas, going back to our Gemara over here, in the first machloikas of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel, we should assume that the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, because even Rebbe agrees with that point. Originally he had machloikas with his father, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Later on it seems he conceded. Therefore, if in the first machlokas about whether you can be mevatel at all, the halacha would be like Reb Shimon Gamliel, evidently, then in the second machlokas, if you mevatel part of it, whether the whole thing is bottle, then in that, the halacha would have to be like Rebbe. That's Reb Yosef's proof now we know when Reb Shmuel Bar Yehuda starts saying that one of them the halacha I heard from Reb Abba, one of them the halacha is like Rebbe, one of them the halacha is like Reb Shimon Gamliel, I don't know which. So Reb Yosef has proved from this which one is which. But after Reb Yoshi, Rabbi Usha saw a chaduk Rebbe v'chaduk Reb Shimon Gamliel, and in fact Reb Yoshi from Usha also we see holds that one in one of these machlokes in the halacha is like Rebbe, in the other one is like Reb Shimon Gamliel. One time there were five of us Chachamim sitting in front of Rabbi Yoshi of Usha. Also, a person came to him for a din Torah. This was a case where the wife is demanding a get, the husband didn't want to give it. And Rabbi Yoshia made him give a get against his will. We know there are cases. We're going to learn mostly about it at the end of the Masechta, but we'll touch on it here and there. We have already touched on it before. There are cases, we're looking at Silvis, for example. There are cases where based in forces a husband to divorce his wife, where he has certain diseases that we're staying with her would be bad for him, where she has a valid claim that I can't stand them. Cases where he makes her do silly things, for example, cases where he makes her talk about their marital life or whatever in public, whatever, all kinds of things. There are cases where Beitzkin has the ability to force a person to give a get. Famous Rambam, that the Rebbe used to always quote, that even though a get has to be given with the husband's rotzon, but here Yitzhak Amsai, his Yetzahara, is forcing him to do the wrong thing. Therefore, when Beitzkin starts beating him or whatever it is, then that takes away that onus of the Yetzahara and allows his original, his Yetzahara, that really wants to listen to what the Chachamim say, to come out. Yes. Anyway. So now that he made the guy give a get, so what's going to happen, though? After the get has been written, the guy may be mevatel it. Omalon, so now Rabbi Yoshia turns to us, he turns to us, he says, Zilu itmoru, go hide yourselves. Go hide yourselves so he can't be mevatel the get. Actually, which one is he saying to hide? Actually, our Gemara over here says Omalon, that he told us, the five Chachamim who were on the base over there. Hagoy Tabach instead has a gift to Omalahu, he says to the Edim. You can't find out how it's the husband. I mean, once it's written, it has to be arranged to be delivered because the wife wasn't there. But if she was, then it wouldn't have been a problem. But like this, she wasn't. So they have to deliver it. And during the time it's being delivered, he might be mevatel it. Anyway, Hagar Sabach has the gift of Omalahu, which means he tells the Edim to hide themselves. And though I'm approaching, we talk about the possibility, we say there were five Chachamim over here. Maybe two of them could have served as Edim on the get, and the other three could have served as a Beis Din. Whatever. Anyway. Well, wait, split, we're going to talk about it in a second. Right now he's telling them to go hide so he can't find you. And write out the get. That way he can't be mevatelet. Now, the Isakudadakirebi, so if we're going to say that in the first case, whether you're allowed to be mevatel, the halacha is like Rebbe, that Rebbe is saying that even after Rabbi Gamliel's hazak and sakana, you could find other people and be mevatel in front of them, two other people, three other people, the earlier focus we had, Kimitamri might have you. How does it help us? These five Chachamim hide out. So we'll find two other people, or three other people, be mevatel in front of them, and it'll still be mevatel. Obviously, then Rabbi Yoshi must told like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That Bitlo ain't mevatel, so therefore the only way to be mevatel it would be to have the actual members originally that was written in front of over there, like we said before about Kulchem, etc. So fine, if they hide, he can't find them and everything's good. Okay, now we have to continue. So now we have to consider, actually, if he holds in the second case, like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that actually you need all of them in order to be mevatel, lomalohu itzmuri, then why do they have to hide? Livadru ivduri, all they have to do is scatter. All they have to do is one of them is here, one of them is there. We can't find them all together. And according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we can't be mevatel one in front of the other. So obviously what it must be is, whether you can be mevatel b'chlal, not in their presence, that he holds like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, you must be in their presence. Therefore, if you hide, he can't find you, and therefore he can't be mevatel. He might find some of you. That's the thing. He might find some of you, therefore it's not good enough to be vadu, it's not good enough to scatter. Because then he might find some of you, and according to Rebbe, that's valid enough to be mevatel. He'd need to find all of you, therefore the kamru, therefore all of you have to hide. So he can't find any of you. Once he can't find any of you, then there's no way for him to be mevatel. Yeah. Total delivery. So that shows that he holds in the first machloekos like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and in the second machloekos like Rebbe. However, However, Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, no, halacha could be b'shtehen. The halacha is like Rebbe in both them. So you can be mevatelet even after Rav Shimon Gamliel Takana. If you were mevatelet in front of a separate Beis Din or whatever, but the evidence bottle. However, the Gemara mentions, I think, in Kiddushin, that you give a person tetch for doing such a thing, but nevertheless, it is bottle. And we have to use the whole business of Afkin Rabban al Kiddushin that we talked about before, that the Chachamim, in order to avoid problems of Amzerus, might have to say that the marriage itself never existed. Yeah. And the halacha is like even the second case, that if you mevatel in front of some of them, then that's enough, the whole thing is bottle. In the previous case, it would mean they have to hide. Right? So that's the thing. In the previous case, it would mean that just hiding wouldn't be enough, because if he were to find two or three other people, he could still be mevatel in front of them. That's why we said Rabbi Yoshia evidently held like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the first machlokas. Now we're saying that Rava is saying the name of Rabbi Nachman, that the halacha is like Rabbi in both them. So if the husband goes, and if all the five dayanim or whatever, three dayanim and two edim or whatever are hiding, he can still go find another base. He didn't be mevatel in front of them. He'll get pets, but it'll still be mevatel. And also, if he were to instead find two or three of the original members of the base gym, or the original A gym, or whatever, and be Mavasal in front of them, then it would be Basel. He doesn't have to have all of them.
Either one or the other.
Either one or the other, yeah.
He gets Mirza either way.
Yeah, well, in the first case, he gets fetched, but yeah. Yeah, the question is, the less whether Rav Nachman Makayach based in Yafa. You're telling me Rav Nachman does not hold of this Makayach based in Yafa business, that we want to uphold the strength of based in and not to say that what they say can be circumvented so easily. But I'm Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, but we find another case where Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel, Yisoimim Shabo Lachlik B'nichse Avihen, that if you have Yisoimim who are coming to divide up their father's property, Rashi says we're talking about over here the Yisoimim are Ketanim, they're children. There are Mephoshim we'll talk about that the case is some of them are children and some of them are adults. Now Tosfos has a bit of a discussion about that. Because the difference is if all of them are children, then you can argue they're all on an equal level. They're fine. They're all gonna need up a trips in, they're all gonna need somebody in charge but there's no problem that some of them are gonna end up taking advantage of the others. Whereas if some of them are adults and some of them are children, still So anyway, based in Ma'amidin Lahim Apotropos, so based in sets up an apotropos for each of these Ketanim, a trustee, and they pick a good portion for each of the Yisraelim. The apotropos is responsible for making sure that a good portion is picked. However, when these Yisraelim get older, they can protest. They can say, you know what, we disagree with this evaluation that the apotropos did, and we want it to be redivided. Rav Nachman Didei Omer, so that's what Rav Nachman says in the name of Shmuel. Rav Nachman himself says he didn't do any chayim limchos. No, even when they get older, they can't protest. Again, the imkain makayach based in Yafa. So you see that Rav Nachman holds of this makayach based in Yafa. So how is he saying over here that he doesn't believe in it? The answer is hasam mamona hachay isura. The difference is in that case it's a matter of dinim mamonos. Fine, they're based in Hefkel. Here it's a matter of isur. It's a matter of eshes ish. Just because of Kayach based in Yafa is not a reason enough that we're going to say that the Bittul is not a Bittul, and therefore that we're going to have to go through this whole thing of Afghin or Rabban and the Kiddushin. We're not going to go through all of that. Yes, very nice, not Kayach based in Yafa. You don't want to weaken the authority of based in. But on the other hand, if the guy was a Vatal, the fact is, Midaraita is Vatal. You can't really get around that. Whereas in Dinim Mamonos, you have more latitude, you have more flexibility.
The problem of remarrying someone
and
having children
with no, so that's the thing. Because he was Mavatalit, so therefore Rav Nachman says, according to Rabbi, look, Bitboy is Mavatal. Fine, we'll give him Petch, but the get is still Batal. She is still an Eshes Ish. She shouldn't marry somebody else with it once he's Mavatal the get.
Yeah, but she knows.
So if she doesn't know, then yeah, that's one of the reasons why we give the husband Petch. But okay, it can't be helped. The fact is, the husband still has the ability to be mavatal to get. We can't get. At best, we could say maybe that will be mafkia the kiddushin, but we don't really want to do that unless it's an emergency situation. So therefore, yeah,
the kiddushin means what?
It means that we undo the kiddushin. We pretend as though there were no kiddushin there in the first place. We talked about that on Shabbos. Yeah, so it's an odd thing to do. So we don't want to do it. New thing the Gemara starts talking about in connection with this matter of Bittul. Till now we've been talking about the husband was explicitly Mevatel. He said Batel, who he said any of the other Lashonis that we had before, Layoyu, Layasir, etc. Now what about we're going to have a case where he said something from which we can infer that he doesn't want the get to be given. But he didn't actually say that in so many words as Batel. We talked about that briefly in the Mishnah based on this Gemara over here. So the case is, Gidol Bari Eli Shadol Gidol Advesu, a man named Gidol Bari Eli, one time sent a get through a shliach to his wife. Also shliach, Ashkecha, Dava Yosef, a Navla. The shliach went and found that she was sitting and spinning wool, or actually Rashi says Navla means they're negus. She was weaving. Amalah HaGidich. So he says, here's your get. He gave it. He didn't actually hand it to her yet. He showed it to her. Here's your get. Do you want it? Do you want it? Okay, she can get it. Bal Kocha, but whatever. The shliach showed it to her. He didn't actually give it to her yet. Omrelay, so she said to him, Zil hashtamia b'talamacher. Go, leave me alone now. Come back tomorrow and give me the get. And right now, I don't want it. Come back tomorrow. Ozalagabe, so he goes back to Gidol Bar Eli, v'omrelay, and he tells him, this is what happened. I didn't have it. I didn't give it to her today. She didn't want it today. So, Pasach v'omer baruch atoy v'amesiv. So Gidol Bar Eli says baruch atoy v'amesiv, like baruch Hashem, but baruch Hashem that it wasn't given. Now, what does that mean? Abaya Omer Baruch Atzei Vameitiv V'loy Bottle Gita. So Abaya says, very nice. He's saying Baruch Atzei Vameitiv. That still doesn't make the get bottle. If the shliach goes and delivers that get tomorrow, it still will be a valid get. Gidol Bar Eli doesn't want it to be given anymore. Tough luck. He wasn't actually mevatelet. If he had said bottle, then we would have a machlokes Rebbe and Rishon Gamliel, whether it's bottle or not. But like this, he didn't even say bottle. So that's what we had. According to Rebbe, after Rebbe Gamliel, Azach and Sakana, you can't be mevatelet unless in front of the original people that you did it in front of. And according to Rebbe, you can, because, yeah. Rava Amar Baruch Atzei Vameitiv V'Bottle Gitter. Rava says it means Baruch Atzei Vameitiv, and it means the get is bottle. It's the equivalent of saying that the get is bottle.
And these eight in the Surah nothing could happen because it wasn't given a heat, and the eight were told directly by the husband.
Right. So that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees that you can be mevatel on that. No, that's what he said. Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees that if you have the original people that you gave the get to, you can be mevatel in their presence because then, yeah, it won't be delivered. That's what got us into the whole discussion. What if you have all 10 of them need to be involved and you only mevatel in front of two, et cetera? Yeah.
And if you can't rip it up.
What?
If you can't rip it up.
What about it?
Just you gain, but if you want it, you have to give a new one.
Yeah, you have to give a new one, yeah.
Right, but this way the marriage will stay on.
Yeah.
Unless the guy wants to make sure.
Okay. So what does it mean? Does it mean the get is bottle at this point, Rava say, and therefore if it's delivered to the possible get? Or Abaya say, no, it would still be a kosher get. Just because Gidol Bar Eli, he said, Baruch HaTzei V'Ameitiv doesn't change anything. Rav Levick has a long, interesting explanation about this in Tertus Levi Yitzchak about the deeper ideas in the story of the Kabbalah. For one thing, he points out usually the Gemara's, when the Gemara brings cases like that, it would just be Ahu Gabra. It doesn't give the person's name. So why is it so important that we need to go to know the guy's name, Gidol Bar Eli? He has a whole explanation of the Kabbalah that Gidol Bar Eli represents Bina and Gvura. You can see even from his initials, Gidol Bar Eli is Rosh Hashanah, Geber, Malashim Gevurah. That he wants originally to divorce his wife, but then he sees that she's weaving, which shows that you know she's doing real work. She has so therefore he says, you know what, in that case I don't need the whole thing, I don't need the whole separation, I don't need all the Gevurahs of the get. Baruch HaTzei, it's good, you know, there's chesed in the world, but the get wasn't given. But the fact is, Abaye and Rava are arguing then. Based on their own.
What's Rava's basis?
Rava's basis is that he said Baruch HaTzei V'Ameitiv implies he doesn't want to get to be given. But my commissary, so what is the underlying machlokes? Begilah died to begin to commissary. They're arguing about reading Megaladas. He makes it clear that he does not want the shlichus anymore, but he didn't actually say that it's bottle. Dabayas of Begilah died to begin to love milsahi. Dabayas says that just because he was Megaladas doesn't mean anything. He has to actually say it's bottle. But Rava Sava Gilad died to begin to milsahi, whereas Rava holds it is significant.
What about her not willing to accept it?
No, she's not really willing to accept it, but, you know, a get can be given by Korcha.
Yeah, but
this is after Chevron Negeshim, actually. This is 1,000 years before Chevron Negeshim, yeah. Didn't accept it, yeah. I mean, it's not like the Shliach couldn't have forced her to take it. But, yeah, could, whatever. But
she
didn't come back
tomorrow. She also wasn't clear.
Okay.
She didn't say
but it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Her daf doesn't really matter. But yeah. Okay. Amar Rava Mina Lo. Where do I get my opinion that Gilui Daita is significant and it's mevatel to get? Rav Sheshes Ashkelon Gitel Ahu Gavra Bar Kolche, because there was a case where Rav Sheshes forced a man to give a get, as we talked about before. Va'amar Lahu L'Sadi, and he said that then the husband goes over to the Edim, and he says to them, Hachi Amar Lahu Rav Sheshes Mevatel Gita. That Rav Sheshes, you should know, Rav Sheshes has said that this get should be bottled. So he himself didn't say it's bottled. He's claiming falsely that Rav Sheshes said the get is bottled. The Atzuchet Rav Sheshes get the Achrina. And we see Rav Sheshes required him to give a new get. So you see, Gilui Daita, he himself didn't say it's bottled, but he made it clear he wants it to be bottled because he falsely claimed in Rav Sheshes' name that it's bottled, and Rav Sheshes made him write another get.
So what about here then?
No, so that's Gilui Daita. If he himself had said it's bottle, then yeah. Why did he do it that way? The Sama, because he wanted from the Sama, because he didn't want the patch, yeah.
That's
great. Yeah. So what would Abaye answer that? Listen, also Rav Sheshes Mevatel gets it in. She have a, think of it, Rav Sheshes doesn't have the ability to be Mevatel get anyway. That's not even considered Gilui Das. When he tells the Adam Rav Sheshes said it's bottle, Their answer should be, so what? Rav Sheshet doesn't have the authority to make a get bottle. The husband has the ability to make the get bottle, according to Rebbe. Not Rav Sheshet.
According to everyone.
No, before Rav Gamliel Takana, according to everybody. After Rav Gamliel Takana, Rav Gamliel holds, you don't have the power unless you do it in front of the original. Okay, he was in front of the original, he didn't find. Okay, whatever.
But it has to be the husband,
not Rav Sheshet. Yeah. Bottle. Necessarily, it must be that he himself is saying that it should be bottle. Why did he say it that way? Because he didn't want the people to give him pitch. So like this, he claimed that Rav Sheshet did it, but really that's not considered gilui daita. That's considered he himself was mabakal. That's why Rav Sheshet made another get me written. Yeah, Malchus. Rashi says bnei dafnei is bnei adam amakin mechurv zinoitzu mitzvahs, people who have the authority to beat him and then to beat him and bang him up in order to do the mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. It, when Beis Din tells him to give a get and he doesn't want to, then yes, it's a mitzvah too. That's the Rambam that I was mentioning before.
You
have to listen to the Chachamim, yeah.
No, about giving a get criticism?
No, well, that's a mitzvah that if a person wants to divorce his wife, he has to do it with a get criticism. The fact that we're saying over here that a person can be forced to give a get is because mitzvah l'shmo yodim Chachamim. So Abaye says, where do I get my understanding? Where do I get my opinion that Gilu Daita is not valid? The get is still valid, and Gidu Bar Eli's case, if the get is given the next day, it'll still be valid. Where do I get that from? Because we have a case where Rabbi Yehuda forced the son-in-law of Rabbi Yirmiya Birah to give a get. Again, the same thing, the son-in-law didn't want to give it, and Rabbi Yehuda forced him to. And the husband was Ubatlay. Tana Ashkele, then Rabbi Yehuda made him write another one. Ubatlay, and the husband was Ubatlay the second time. Hoda Tana Ashkele Akoche, so he tried a third time. He made him write him Balkoche. And then, for Omolahu the Sadi, then Rabbi Yehuda turns to the Edim, and he says, before the not get lost. Because, again, according to Rebbe, it doesn't matter whether they get lost. He can still find other people to be Ubatlay in front of. But no, what Rabbi Yehuda tells them is, he tells the Edim, put pieces of pumpkins in your ears, stuff your ears up with vegetables, and go ahead and write the get. That way, when he says, I'm the Mavapalit, you won't hear it. You don't hear it, then he's going to think you heard it, he's going to think it's bottle. Tough luck. It's not really bottle because you didn't hear it.
If he said bottle, whether they hear it or not.
That's the point. It has to be done in front of, even Rebbe agrees, it has to be done in front of two or three people. It just doesn't have to be the same two or three people who originally wrote the get. Like this, if they don't hear it, then it's not in their presence. If their ears are stuffed up, then they don't hear it.
He
could go to other people, but that's the point. He's going to think that it was. He's going to think it's a valid mitzvah. So he's not going to try again going and finding other people to move on.
Well, did he hear the stuff?
He won't notice. I don't know.
What if they just don't pay attention?
Doesn't matter if they pay attention. They heard it, but like this, they won't hear it.
I would say, have her behind the door and give it to her right away.
Okay. Maybe she wasn't in town. I don't know. So now the east after that is Gili Daita Begilta Milti. So if you're going to tell me that Gili Das is significant, like Rava says, so what does it help that they sucked up their ears and then they go and write the get? They're still seeing that he's running after them, and he's chasing after them to try and be mevatelit. In other words, evidently the issue wasn't over here. It wasn't that he's standing right there and right after the get is written he's being mevatelit. What happens is Rabbi Huda is telling them, you go stuff your ears up and then walk over to the sofers or whatever to write the get. Meanwhile, even if he chases after you, yelling, I'm a vato, you won't hear it, and you'll still be able to write the get. So now you see he's running after them. You see he's trying to be mivatalit. According to Rava, that should be enough to be mivatalit. The fact that doesn't work shows, like that's an ISA, and that shows that proves my point. That's not a valid mitzvah. I don't know. I mean, in the case of Gidol Bar Eli, again, we had Reb Levick's explanation about the Kabbalah behind it. Maybe it tells us that, you know what, maybe it tells us that even if the Shver, the Tamar Chacham, Reb Yirmiyah Birah, you know, don't give any special treatment to the son-in-law, you know, I don't know. So, V'rava, so what would Rava answer to that? Rava would say, yes, but the running after them in and of itself is not a gilui das. Hay dekaroi basrayu, because the fact that he's running after them, you could say abadaba. Da'amalahu, maybe he's saying to them, ashur hav ashur, be strong, havolahayu, get for the get as fast as possible, kihesit the bishlam tzara da'ahu gabra. So that way, that person, meaning me, is done with his tzar. In other words, when he's running after, that doesn't have to mean I'm running after to be involved. Adam, I'm running after, do it as fast as possible. I want this over and done with already.
But that's an older person who was involved twice.
Okay, but nevertheless, you know what? He's already getting patched twice, you know, maybe. But also, actually, some of the Rishonim say that Tsar that he's talking about is necessarily Rabbi Yirmiyahu will have all, not Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Yehuda, besides telling the Edom to stuff their ears and leave, to go right to get. Besides that, he'll have made this person stay in Beis Din. He'll have made him stay in the Beis Din Shtibul so he can't go find other people to be mafal in front of. So therefore, that's the Tsar itself. Go right, maybe Rava would be saying, he'd be saying, go get to get done as fast as possible so I can get out of here. So therefore, that's not considered Gilei Das, because it could be equivocal. Gilei Das would be like Gidol Bar Eli, Baruch Atah V'Ameti, where there's no question he means he's glad to get what he's giving. Yeah. Well, it's good for him and it's good for his wife. I don't know. Okay. V'Amar Abaye Menahem in the law. So now Abaye says, where's another place where I find you? Fine. Rava, you have your other understanding of the story of Rabbi Yehuda. Fine. I can't bring a proof from that. I'll bring a proof from another case. Dahud, we had the case before. Dahud, Amalahu, Ila, Sinad, Plus, and Yemen, Lahavigita. A person gave a get to his wife. He said, if I don't come within the next 30 days, this get should take effect. Also, Paske Mabra, so he tried coming, but he was stopped by the river crossing. He wasn't able to cross because the ferry wasn't there or whatever. Yeah, we learned this a couple of days ago, yeah. Amalahu, Chazuda, Soy, Chazuda, Soy. So he's calling out, look, I'm coming, look, I'm coming. And Shmuel says it's not considered coming. The Tanai has still taken effect. He wasn't there in 3 days. The get is a get. Yes. So therefore, you see, Gilui died to the get. Even though he's showing he really wants to be mivatel the get, nevertheless, it's not possible. Good Rava. So what would Rava answer that? Rava answers, also hustle until he gets the boy. In that case, the person is not trying to be mivatel the get. It's not like the get originally had nothing on it, and he's trying to be mivatel it. Yeah. There, what he's trying to do is he's trying to accomplish his tonight. He made a tonight that if I don't come during 30 days, he's trying to say, I'm accomplishing my tonight. He's arguing that I haven't been Mekai my tonight. Now, okay, we say, in earnest begitta, and therefore he was Mekai my tonight. But it's not a matter of Gilui Dai to begitta, would be where he's doing it for the purpose of being mivatel the get. Here he's doing it for the purpose of accomplishing his tonight, which incidentally will mean that the get is possible. But that's not what he's after. But that's because we're saying that he's primarily doing it. To be mivatel the get would mean there was no tnai, and he's trying to say this get, which otherwise would have been valid, is invalid. He was the other way around. This get would otherwise be invalid if I do show up. I'm trying to accomplish that.
You already gave it.
At this point, it's still hanging. It's on the 30th day. It's still hanging. The validity of it is still in doubt.
It's not valid. But at the point he can't cross the river, why can't he be mivatel at that point?
If he were to be mivatel at that point, then yeah, we'd have that, but he wasn't.
There was no tnai.
Yeah. Okay, but he didn't actually say bottle. He said, I'm trying to cross the river. So Rava is saying that's not a matter of gilui daita begita, because that's a matter. It's not that he's trying to be megala das, I'm trying to be mivatel. I'm trying to fulfill my tnai.
Then can he say, I'm willing to battle if you already gave it, but it was ready, he had to show up. I don't think he could do that.
Maybe he could, I don't know.
Okay.
But he wanted to give the get.
He gave the get already.
He gave the get. But he didn't.
So he wants to show up, but that's saying he went to war. Whatever it is, you want to be, you know.
Because the get was supposed to be filled on a condition.
Yeah, so now he's trying to fulfill the condition.
And he couldn't.
Yeah. So because
it's a different case.
That's the point. Yeah. Another case, Haruta Amalahu, Ila Nasibna Plus in Yemen Lahabagita. There was a case of a man who was, he didn't Kaddish a woman, and then he said, during the Erisin, he gave her a get. He said, if I don't marry you, if I don't do the Nisuin within the next 30 days, then this get should take effect. Kimasa Plus in Yemen, when it came the 30 days, Amalahu Hatarachna. I've been working to try and get together all the stuff for the chuppah. I've been matriarch. I've been working on it. It's an oinus. Okay, the Gemara asks, "L'mai neichar shlo?" So what's the problem? Imishum einta ein onus begitin. If it's a matter of he's arguing onus, we just said ein onus begitin. So therefore, the fact that he's claiming onus doesn't make a difference. It's still the condition wasn't fulfilled. Imishum gilui daita begitin plukta d'abaya v'rabahu. And you're going to say it's a matter of gilui daf. Fine, Abaya. That's exactly what Abaya and Rava are arguing about. Now, okay, Rava himself might say, Tosfos says, Rava himself might say this case is just like the case with the Teri. He's trying to be Mekayim and Tanai. It's not a matter of being of Gilui Daita Begitta. But according to Abaya, that Gilui Daita Begitta is not significant. So who cares whether he says, well, I'm trying. The fact is, even if he weren't trying, he's not Megala Das, and he's not Megala, Gilui Daita doesn't matter. The get is still a get. He wasn't actually Mevandal it.
According to Rava, that's the question.
No, that's what we're saying. So Tosfos says actually, even according to Rava, Rava wouldn't disagree over here, just like Rava didn't disagree
right.
In the case of the ferry.
Right.
It was a tsai, you didn't fulfill the tsai, and it's begitzen, yeah.
So what does the Gemara give this?
That's the point. The Gemara is saying, don't think this is a case where Abaya and Rava would argue, I'm guilty, died to begitzen, this is actually a different situation. Another case, Hahuda Amalahu, Ilan Nasivna Lodeshiach de Adr Lehevigita. There was a man who, again, he had been Ma'aris, a woman. He said that if I don't marry her by Rosh Chodesh Adr, then this get that I'm giving now will take effect. He was Makadish or sometime in Tavis or Shabbat or whatever. He said, if I don't marry you, what? He was Ma'aris. Makadish and Ma'aris is the same thing.
Right.
Now he sometime during the period, maybe what happened is at some point they're telling him, "No, come on, ready, don't leave her hanging. Get married, you know, if you can't afford the stuff for the wedding, then give her a get." So it's fine, he gave her a get on condition. Look, if I don't manage to have the wedding by Rosh Chodesh Adar, then the get will be valid. When it came Rosh Chodesh Adar, not actually Rosh Chodesh Adar, but it was right before Rosh Chodesh, Amalahu, another Rosh Yachad Nissen Amri. He got mixed up. He said Rosh Chodesh Nissen. So therefore, I thought I'd have another month.
And
again, Amri. So again, they said, "But my neichor shlo." So again, what do you think is the problem? Imishum oynus ein oynus begitin. Yes, you could argue it's an oynus that he himself made a mistake, and that's considered an oynus. But ein oynus begitin. Imishum gilui yadayta pukta d'abaya v'rava. Again, it would be the same machlokas abaya and rava, or not really. It would be abaya would hold that it doesn't matter. The gilui das, the get is still a get. Because he didn't marry her by Rosh Chodesh Adar. Rava would agree, and then Rava would agree that it's because Adar is forgiven, and it's a matter of Tanaya. Yeah. Okay. Bottom line, as far as the halacha, the hilchas a kenachman, the hilchas a kenachman, the hilchas a kenachmin.
Whoa, three.
So what does it mean? We had there were three statements of Rav Nachman that we had in the full sugya. We had one statement of Rav Nachman. We had a machlokas between him and Rav Sheshes. Do you need two or three people to move off again? We had a second statement from him, which was about the case of the Yesoimim, the case of the Yesoimim dividing up their father's property. What it becomes kayach based in the offer or not? Yeah. We had one was Rav Nachman saying about two versus three people. We had a second statement of Rav Nachman that the halacha is like Rebbe in both of his machlokas and with Rav Shimon Gamliel about whether you can be mevatel even after Rav Gamliel is up in Stakana in presence of other people, in the presence of two other people, or do you need the original people like Rav Shimon Gamliel said? He said the halacha is like Rebbe, and the halacha is also like Rebbe that you can be mevatel some of them, not in the presence of the other ones. That was the second statement of Rav Nachman. And then the third statement we had was where he said about the Yisoimim and Makayach based in Yafa. So the halacha is like Nachman. So Rashi says it means the halacha is like him about that you'll need two people, not three like Rav Sheshet said. The halacha is like him in what he said that the halacha is like Rebbe in both statements. The halacha is like Nachmani, and the halacha is like Nachmani, which is a name for Abaya. In all machlokes, Abaya and Rava, why is Abaya called Nachmani? So Rashi says because we know Abaya was a Yosem. Rabba Bar Nachmani, who was his uncle, raised him. So he named him Nachmani. He named him Nachmani after his own father. So according to Rashi, in other words, Abaya was his original name from birth, and then Rabba renamed him Nachmani. So therefore he's known by both names. Tosfos in a few places talks about the other way around, that his original name was Nachmani, and the other Rishonim talk about that his real name was Nachmani after, because his brother was Rabba's, his father was Rabba's brother, so they both had the same grandfather, Nachmani, so he was named after him, and then Rabba named him, or nicknamed him Abaya. Why? Rav Shmuel Gaon says that Abaye is Meloshon Abba, like Abaye, like little Abba, little father. So he didn't want to call him Nachmeni because that was his father's name. And then there's a famous verse that says this verse from the Rishonim that Abaye is Rosh Hashanah Shevachol Yerucham Yosem. So therefore, it was an appropriate name for him as a Yosem. The Eved Shaz Rachmanos and Yosem. Asher b'chol Yerucham Yosem. That in you, the Yosem has refined Rachmanos.
Which name?
So that's the thing. According to Rashi over here, it comes out that his real name was Abaye, and Nachmeni was a nickname that Rava gave him after his own father.
That
pasuk would spell Nachmeni. No, it spells Abaye. Asher b'chol Yerucham Yosem. Aleph Beit Yud Yud. Yeah.
One Nachmeni from Boshem Atamah.
Yes. Anyway, so the reason why the Gemara is using the name Nachmeni over here is just because it goes together with the other Nachmans. This way we can remember Yochsech Nachman, Yochsech Nachman, Yochsech Nachmeni. There are other Rishonim who explain that actually, unlike Rashi, who says that the two halachas that we say in the halachas like Rav Nachman are the one about 2 verses 3 and the one that the halachas like Rebbe, there are other Rishonim who say that's not what the second one means. Because if we said already the halachas like Rebbe, there's no reason to say again the halachas like Rav Nachman who says that the halachas like Rebbe. No, rather the second one is in the case of the Yisoyim that Makayach Beis Din Yafa. They say that the halacha is like Rav Nachman in that. Mishnah says, "Barishona hoya mashana shmoi v'shem ira, shmoi u'shma shem ira v'shem ira." Originally, when they wrote a get, if you had a person who had two different names, he has one name over here and another name in some other country, or she had a different name, or the city had different names, They would be mashaneh. They would just write the local name. They wouldn't be particular to write the other names. This is how Rashi learns it. Hiskin Rav Gamliel Zaken. She had kosev that you should write in a get. Ish pliny v'chol shuv sheyeshlo. You should write pliny as well as any other name he has. Or ish pliny v'chol shuv sheyeshlo. Or such so and so the woman and any other names that she has. Because tikkun olam again. Because tikkun olam, you don't want that people are going to say later on she remarries. With this guest, what do you mean? Her husband wasn't her husband who was Magadish, her, that was some other person, because that's not his name. So therefore, in order to avoid that problem. Same thing with her name. Same thing with her name. This guest isn't yours, it was given to some other woman. Now, Tosfos mentions, so what does this mean? Tosfos brings from the Halachos Gedolos, from one of the early Goyim, that what it means is, every time you write a guest, you write, for example, this get is being written by Reuven, you should write, regardless whether he has other names or not, you should always write Reuven v'chol shum sheyeshlo. And Sarah v'chol shum sheyeshlo, and so forth. Tosfos disagrees and says that actually what you should do is that, no, you don't do that, because if a person doesn't have any other names, then that's what you lose. What do you mean, Reuven and any other names that he has? We know that this person is only named Reuven, he has no other names, so obviously it must be talking about somebody else. No, so Tosfos says what the Mishnah means is that you actually have to write out all the names that this person has. Reuben, who's also known as Jack, etc. So that's the point. In other words, if before Rav Gamliel Sakana, you would only write Reuben. And the fact that the get may be delivered someplace else where everybody only knows him as Shimon doesn't matter. Now Rav Gamliel is saying you write Reuben, who's also known as Shimon. So that's in fact what they do in Gittin. And in fact, I mean, our Mishnah and our Gemara over here is going to go a tiny bit into the details, but not really. There's a vast amount of the Shilas of Trubas and Halachas that are in Evan Ezer and Hilchas Gittin. There's a vast amount of Halachas that have to do with the specifics of how the names and nicknames and alternate names and whatnot are supposed to be written. It gets quite complicated. Tosfos over here actually mentions one issue of it. What if you have a Meshumah, Drachman al-Islam, who's divorcing his wife? It was unfortunately a somewhat common thing in those days. A person would become a Meshumah, and then the basin would somehow convince him or other that at least give your wife a get so she's not an Aguna for the rest of her life. Which name do you write in the get? Do you write his original Jewish name, or do you write the name that he goes by now, his Goyishin, the name that he took by his baptism or whatever? So Rabbi Natan wants to say that, no, absolutely, you definitely do not write his Goyishin name in the get. How you talk it, you should write his Goyishin name. Never mind that. He goes by that name. No, he goes by that name. Rabbi Natan says, how you talk it, that in Torah Moshe v'Yisrael, that in a get, which is a matter which has Kedusha, that you should write his Goyishin name.
What?
How you talk it, that in a get, which has Kedusha, you should be writing this person's Goyishin name.
You shouldn't,
in other words. You should only write his Jewish name.
Right.
came later on.
On the other, yeah. On the other hand, there are other Rishonim who argue with that. So there are other Rishonim who say that no, in fact, the fact is, right now he's going by Christopher or whatever. So that's you got to write that. It's okay, I should to write to the thing on a yid, but that's what he goes by now.
No.
So then you have to write that's different. Yeah. And actually, Tosfos talks about a situation where you have the other way around. If you have a ger who still goes by his goyish name and he writes a goyish name, fine. But that's different. He had that name originally. So yeah. There could be a law. So that you have to look in Shulchan Aruch for the halacha. If you're a rabbi who's involved in writing gittin, then you have to know what to do.
Where? Basalgani, the Maimer, speaks about a whole paragraph about the name, the Jewish and kedusha of a name. Like when we're not called the name a certain name, or we call a personal name, the name plays an importance of the neshama.
It's
particular as. More just a name, like a table called table.
Of course.
They create a table of table, but no,
it's not Kurdish. Yeah. No question about it, but the question still becomes, do you write? Yeah. So in general, in Gittin nowadays, they write the person's name, and they write it, and they write his secular names as well. Yeah, you can find, for example, Jacob, the mystery Jack, or whatever. Yeah. There is actually an interesting machlokus about that between the machaber and the ramah. There's two different words that you can use in a get when you're writing a nickname. You can write demiskiri, or you can write hamachone. Which one do you use for what kind of name? The machaber says that it depends whether the second name has any relationship to the original name. For example, it's a very common. You have, let's say, for example, Yehuda Leib. Originally, Leib started out as a German or Yiddish name that went together with Yehuda or Arya or whatever. So you might write, Yehuda Hamachuna Leib, as opposed to, if it's completely unrelated, he's known in one place as Yehuda, and another place he's known as Yossel, then he writes Yehuda Demiskiri Yossel. The Ramah says, no, the difference is you write Hamachuna if the second name is a Jewish name. If the second name is a secular name, then you write Demiskiri. So you write Reuven Hamachuna, Demiskiri means that he's called. Hamachuna means that he's nicknamed. Well, now it's considered Jewish. Nowadays, you'd probably just write Yehuda Leib, because the two names are given together. The person is called up for the turtle like that, whatever. For example, according to the Ramah, you would write Reuven Tamachuna Shimon, but you would write Reuven Demiskiri Ralph. I'll tell you one more thing, and then Alexander is a Jewish name by itself.
It is?
But if a person has a secular name, Alexander, and a Jewish name, something else, then yeah, you write Abdurraham Hamachuna Alexander, I guess, yeah. Before we get into the Gemara, I'll just tell you one funny thing about as far as the variants of names of cities and whatnot. There was a city in Russia called Belya Tserkov, which means white church. The Jews who lived there didn't want to call the place like that. They had two names for it. They called it in day to day use they called it Shvarte Tumah, black tumah. There was one of the prominent cities where the Alter Rebbe was called Reb David Shvarte Tumah. I guess he came from that town, And in literary context, like on the title pages of Sfarim, they would call it Sde Lavan, white field. Now what happens when you're writing a get? They didn't want to write the name Belya Tserkov in a get. On the other hand, they didn't want to write Shvarte Tumah. If a goy gets a hold of the get and sees that they're writing that, they could be in big trouble. So they got smart. They wrote Sde Lavan v'chol shum sheyeshla. Sde Lavan as well as any other names it might have. What other names? We know what it is. The goy got it.
What about Corpus?
Corpus Christi in Texas? If they have to write a get there, they'd have to write the name, I guess, yeah.
They would?
Yeah. There's a town in southern Texas called Corpus Christi, which means Yoshka, which means Yoshka's body. I don't know how they do it. I mean, for example, there's a town in New Zealand called Christchurch. The Jews who live there call it Chicha. But what they do when they write a get, I don't know. How did this Takana in our Mishnah come about? The Bnei Medina Sayam sent a message to Rav Gamliel. What do we do? Bnei Adam Aboy Misham Lakan, you have people who come from there, from where you are, in Eretz Yisrael, to us. Shmo Yosef v'koren lo Yochanan. In Eretz Yisrael he's known as Yosef, and by us he's known as Yochanan. Or Yochanan v'koren lo Yosef. How can a get be given? When a person whose name in Eretz Yisrael is Yosef brings a get, which is written Yosef in it, and he brings it over here, nobody knows who it is. Omen Rav Gamliel v'hiskin, shiur kosman, ish plenei v'chol shum sheyeshla, ish plenei v'chol shum sheyeshla, and pei tukun olam. So that's why, that's the reason for the takana in our Mishnah that you write the alternate name. or according to the Bahag that you just write v'chol shul mishiyesh le, any other name that he has, and then it means that you just write that generic expression v'chol shul mishiyesh le, and you're meant to know from that way. You can start investigating, okay, so does this person who we know over here as Yosef, does he have any other names? Yes, and as you know, they know him as Yosef.
And the last name, why didn't they go
back? They didn't have last name.
Go back to the grandparents or something like that.
You'd use grandparents only when you have two people who have the same name. So two Yosef and Shimon, then you go back to grandparents. However, this is only if he has a chazaka of having two names. So if there's no chazaka, if we don't know over here, when we write the get over here, that he has two names, then you don't write the chol shom shiyesh loy. And it's still a kasher again. So Rashi says, ain't tzorich listos. Tosfos discusses all the possibilities about whether it means that you shouldn't write it, maybe because or you don't have to, but if you did, it's still Omelet of Amalur Rabashi, Rab Mori, Rab Elazar, Kaim Kabasach. Rab Mori and Rab Elazar hold like you as well. That only if there's a chazaka of two names you write this. Tanya Kabasay de Rabashi, Horeba Shtein Nashon Achas Yehuda Bachas Gilil. If someone had two wives, one in Yehuda and one in the Galil, Veloy Shtei Shemes, Echab Yehuda Bachas Gilil, and he has two names, the one in Yehuda and a different one in Galil, the Girish is Ishtei Shem Yehuda B'Shmo Shem Yehuda, so now he divorces his wife in Yehuda using the name by which he's known in Yehuda, that's Ishtei Shem Galil B'Shmo Shem Galil, and he divorces his wife from the Galil using the name by which he's known in the Galil, Ain't Magurashis, that she's not Magurash. Adshi Garish Ishta should be Yehuda, Bishmo should be Yehuda, Bishame the Galilim. You have to write the name from the Galil as well, because in Yehuda we know that he has both names, we just don't use the second one over here. This Ishta should be Galil, Bishmo should be Galil, Bishame the Yehuda, Imai. So in both those places you need to write both names. However, however, if he goes someplace else, he goes to a different country, neither Yehuda or the Galil, and uses one of those names, then Megureshes, then it's a valid get. Because in that other place, they don't have a chazaka, he has two names. In Yehuda, they know he has two names. They just don't use one of them over here. In the Galil, they know he has two names. Someplace else, they only know of one name.
And on the place, why shouldn't it be on there? You have people that know him both names.
That's the point, in other words. That's in Yehuda, you have people who know him by both names. They know he uses both names. In this other place, they don't. So that's the point. Muhammad shamed the Galilim. Didn't you say that when he writes a get using the name from Yehuda, he has to include the name from the Galil as well. Ela Shmarna Hodei Chazak Hodei Chazak. That proves Ravashi's point that there must be a difference whether in this place there's a chazaka of him having two names or not. If there's a chazaka, then you have to write the second name, or you have to write the whole Shem Shiyash Loi. If not, then you don't. Shmarna. So that proves it. So Gemara tells, "Ahi da'ava korolim Miriam or Purta Sara." There was a woman who most people called her Miriam, and a few people called her Sara. Amri Nahajoi, so the Nahajoi said, if you're writing a gift for her, you have to write Miriam b'chol shum sheyeshla, v'lay Sora b'chol shum sheyeshla. You have to write her, because her primary name is Miriam, most people call her that, you have to write Miriam as well as any other name she has. You can't write Sora and any other name that she has. You have to go with the more common one. Tosfos has a different girsa, actually, or a different explanation of the Gemara that you have to write. You have to write Miriam Dimskaria Sora. You have to write Miriam, who's also known as Sora. You can't do the other way around. You can't write Sora, who's also known as Miriam. That wouldn't work. She's primarily known as Miriam. And that's what I'm saying. This is this whole thing gets into a great deal. Many, many Shilas, many thousands of Shilas Atruvas have been written over the centuries.
Is it here in Bas?
Well, yeah, of course you have to write Bas, but we're not talking about that. But the many, many Shilas Atruvas have been written over the centuries about all kinds of different details with names and second names and alternate names and then nicknames and all this sort of thing.
People are questioning the get. Even both parties agree that it was a valid get. It doesn't make any difference.
Right. So because you can still have people might. No, so it's not a matter of people questioning it. Sometimes if the name is not written validly, the get may be absolutely possible. I mentioned a week or two ago, for example, you can find in the Alphabet of Strobos and back in Shulchan Aruch, he mentions a case where a woman was given a get where they wrote in the get Rachel, but everybody called her Rasha. And the Alphabet of says it's the apostle of get. That's not her name. And if the Alphabet goes so far as to say that if she gets remarried, or he gets remarried, whatever, if there's a remarriage after this get, and somebody, then any meat that's served by that wedding will be considered nevela.
Wow.
There's a famous story that's told, although from what I've read from one of Yeshua Munshine's Allah Shalom essays, it seems that there's not much of the story may be true, but there's a well-known story involving Rabbi Akiva Eiger, where in the following generation, where there was a boy who had trouble learning anything. It turned out that he had one time eaten by a wedding. One time he was passing by a wedding, and they gave him some food from it. And it turned out that was a wedding where the husband from that story had remarried, and then since the Alter Rebbe said the meat is considered nevela, then that had an effect on this kid's neshama. Munshine points out that the details of the story don't seem to add up, but you can find it. It's a well-known story. You can find it in various places.
I guess they have to both agree.
Yeah.
When one gets married, the other one gets very.